The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. You're listening to Anthony Pipes Hall and Kelly Dr. K. Caulfield, and this is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Devil's Advocate here on KTXT, The Raider 88.1. I'm Tony, here with Dr. K in the College of Media and Communication.
Hey gang, how are you? Man, that coffee smells good.
It's actually a cappuccino thing from our Keurig downstairs.
Did you sneak it in my luggage from Italy? Is that what you did?
No.
You don't have an illegal cooking device in a room in the building that you're not
No, sir. I have no idea what you're talking about.
We're in an engineering building, right?
Yeah, in the basement.
In the basement of an engineering building. Yeah, that's where it is.
Which one? That's a good question. So you also went on another trip this weekend. You were gone Monday and Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I was risking my life over the weekend. Exactly. You know where I went? We'll talk about this a little later. I went to a city that's a big...
His life was in danger.
Exactly.
Like physical danger.
No, it's true. I was targeted by dangerous communists.
Communists. We'll get to that later. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. It's not just going to be a one-topic show. We've got another lightning round scheduled for the end of the show. Hey, y'all really need to stick around for that. It's going to be good.
We have a special comedic guest twice in the show today. Should I turn my computer down so it doesn't make sense?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, I'll do that.
I don't want to distract anybody wondering what you're doing over there.
Wait, what's this? Oh, sorry. I was distracted.
Hey, see what? Okay, so in addition to Doma, we're going to be... sorry.
What'd you call me?
I spoiled it.
Okay.
I spoiled it. We're going to be talking about the Defense of Marriage Act arguments in the Supreme Court last week. They're continuing this week, aren't they?
I think it was a couple days of arguments. Those are wrapped up, and the Supreme Court, in its usual fashion, will decide
in June.
Exactly. We'll craft out a quick decision in a couple, 3 months.
Yeah, a quick decision.
That's how it works. And everybody tries to, I love this quote, they try to read the tea leaves, which nobody does anymore, but everybody tries to figure out what they meant by the questions they were asking, et cetera.
Now, see, it's funny. I actually attended a recent Supreme Court hearing myself for, the Student Government Association, but I found myself doing the same thing. Like, during the hearing, I was thinking, okay, so they're asking this, that means they're going to hit them this way. And then, like, when they passed down the opinion, it was like everything exactly the opposite of what I was expecting.
Yeah, see how that works? You can't guess. It's too hard.
Yeah, I guess that means that they're good at their jobs or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they try to betray it. Sometimes they do betray it. Sometimes they'll openly diss people. And then another factor is sometimes you'll see. And
yeah,
of course,
Justice Scalia loves to openly diss people.
Exactly. And I think that's part of the sport. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. And Clarence Thomas has just finally started asking questions at cases this year for the first time. And he's been on the court for many years and has known to never ask a question. And now he started to ask questions on cases.
Ooh, big deal, right?
Yeah.
So
could it have to do with gay marriage? I don't know. I'll
it
start
might.
A rumor.
Maybe okay. He has an opinion there. if you're just tuning in, this is The Devil's Advocate here on KTXT, The Raider 88.1. We're also streaming now. All of our family and friends outside of Lubbock can now hear the sound of my booming voice.
Like they needed streaming to hear that. We can kind of hear you in South Texas just from the booth, man. That's how your voice is.
Well, I mean, there's nothing I hear to stop it either. It's all flat terrain.
That's
so
a
I can
fact.
Just be like, oh, oh.
Oh, nice echoes.
So we've got a montage. We actually have two montages.
We have a guest montage. We're really excited about it. It's the first time that our student, Bianca Yarbrough, who's a worker here at the radio station, put this together for us. And it introduces the topic of the Defense of Marriage Act and the Supreme Court challenge to gay marriage. Let's give a listen to that.
Right to same-sex marriage.
Proposition 8 is a discriminatory law.
There are no second-class citizens.
It hurts the children we're raising, and it does so for no good reason.
There are no second-class marriages.
The American Academy of Pediatrics has studied it, and they say, quote, there's no relationship between parents' sexual orientation and children's well-being.
Is this a deeply philosophical issue that the party is tackling internally, or is this a deeply generational issue that is bigger than party?
Well, I think it's both. You pointed out that younger Republicans have changed their attitudes about this.
There was no attempt to defend the ban on gay and lesbian marriage. All that was said in there was that this important constitutional right ought to be decided at the state level.
No one really offered a defense for the awful discrimination that takes place when gay and lesbian citizens are not denied the right given to everyone else to have their family relationship recognized and respected equally.
Second of all, if the new standard for recognizing marriage is whether or not the couple would make good parents, you, Antonin Scalia, should get cable.
Outside of the marriage context, can you think of any other rational basis, reason, for a state using sexual orientation as a factor in denying homosexuals benefits or imposing burdens on them?
Your Honor, I cannot. And Your Honor, again, the marital norm, which imposes upon that couple the obligation of fidelity.
No harm done by allowing same-sex couples the right to marry. It doesn't hurt anyone down the street. It doesn't hurt a neighbor or another straight couple. And that's exactly what we heard once again in court today, and they continue to struggle countering those 3 points.
You can't have one without the other.
I don't remember it either.
Yeah, sorry. No.
Okay, sorry.
Love that. And thanks again to Bianca Yarbrough for editing that.
Very good.
Nice. Yeah, so, you know, I had a question. Defense of Marriage Act, there's some complexity to this, given that different states, California and others, have had their own laws, Massachusetts, and then they were having a little fun at Sonia Sotomayor's expense here. See if you get the hint. We have these complexities, these different states passed ordinances. People get married in those states, for example, in Massachusetts, in California, marriages that are not recognized in states like Texas, and without a set national policy. Anthony, do you think there's a good resolution to an issue like this?
No.
I don't know if you heard it in the montage, but
it was so long.
There was a minute and a half talking. Question, and the answer is, I don't think so. So it was pretty funny. It's like,
looking at my watch going, okay, we're getting up there. And then she made the mistake that, like, we're taught as journalists in news writing with Professor Wernsman, never to ask a two-answer question, like a closed question.
Yeah, in survey research, we call that a double-barreled question. It's always a bad idea. So, you know, that's funny. That question and the answer, it reminds me of Rodney Dangerfield in the movie Back to School. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie, if you've seen that.
It's a little before my
time. There's a scene in there where a math professor at these all-or-nothing exams, Rodney Dangerfield sitting in a chair sweating, and this guy asks him this inordinately long 40-second question, and Rodney Dangerfield pauses, looks up, and goes, "Four?" And that's the answer. So it reminded me a lot of that.
If only we could get that lucky.
I'll have to go find it and we'll see. So anyway, we are going to talk about the Defense of Marriage Act.
And why it's in the Supreme
Court. And some history and why it's in the Supreme Court. And so we're going to throw some numbers around. We'll throw some dates. We'll throw around the 14th Amendment, some other details.
We'll throw around some 90s trivia.
Exactly. So we'll have some fun with that coming up. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and be with you shortly here on
The Raider, 88.1.
On The Devil's Advocate.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you played pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, because I'm the best there's ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, 'cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." opened up his case and he said, I'll start this show. And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Devil's Advocate here on KTXT The Raider 88.1. Christine giving us some really nice bed music.
Yeah, I love that. Besides, you know, that song never gets old, and
why we use it every show.
I was rosining up my bow, which is as close as I'll ever get to fiddling anything.
So. Yeah, fiddling anything. See, yeah. It's funny because...
Okay, sorry. So back to Defense of Marriage Act and gay marriage.
Funny enough.
Okay, sorry. We have some perspectives on that.
Yeah, so, okay. The Defense of Marriage Act, where do we start with this? It is a federal... Wait.
Well, you want me to give some history first, or should we flip a coin first? Or should we ask John Stewart first?
Let's flip the coin first so I can know whether or not to argue with you.
Okay, let's flip a coin, and you make the call this week, because I called it
last week. This week, I'm going to go tails. Are we just flipping the quarter again?
Yeah. This is actually a dollar coin, U.S. dollar coin, since it's the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll stay domestic here.
Okay, so I'm going to go tails for conservative.
Tails, Anthony's conservative. Here we go. And it's tails.
All right.
Okay, you're on the right.
Here we go.
I'm on the left.
Let's do this.
Good. Let me pull my rainbow flag over my shoulders and get ready to
hold on. I got my gun. We're going to take care of this problem.
Okay, we're ready to rock. So first, a little history. The Defense of Marriage Act dates back quite a while. This is interesting. I think a lot of people forget about this. This was the first national effort in the legislature to define marriage officially as one man, one woman. It's passed in September 1996. Already? Really? Already? Okay.
Well, I mean, I had to get a jump on you.
So
come out swinging.
Kind of interesting that this passed Congress and was signed into law in September 21, 1996. Who was president in 1996? Do you remember?
That would be Bill. My Clinton is not good. It was Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it was not a right winger. It was Bill Clinton who actually supported it. Shame on him.
Wasn't this actually after the midterm election in 1996?
This was the middle of his term. So it was after he got badly slapped in 1994 by the Republican resurgence that brought Newt Gingrich and the Contract with America to the fore in the House. It was the biggest sway from Democrat to Republican in the House of Representatives in U.S. history.
Wow.
In 1994, they gained...
Like I said, 90s trivia, you guys.
60-some seats. Having lived through it, it makes it easier to remember the trivia. Exactly right. But this was a big deal, and it was wide bipartisan support, which is kind of interesting because now the numbers are the opposite. In fact, 58% of Americans in a March poll oppose restricting gay marriage. They support gay marriage, basically. 58% support gay marriage, only 36% opposed gay marriage.
Which means that 6% of people just don't know.
Well, either they're undecided or, okay, I'm going to stay away from the gay marriage humor leave it at that. But yeah, you figured it out. Anyway, the support is much stronger now than it was then. I bring this up because it was September 1996. It was 1 month, 2 months before an election. So Bill Clinton clearly was feeling some pressure to oppose gay marriage and to enshrine same-sex marriage because at that time, 1996, that was clearly the majority opinion that was going to win him the most votes.
Right.
And that's the ugly, dirty part of democracy is a lot of times majority does rule. And in that case, that was the majority opinion. That's no longer the majority opinion, but that was interesting that passed at that time. And now, like I say, the country has evolved involved landing this case before the Supreme Court for argument 2 days last week. Defense of Marriage Act is this federal act, and the argument is that it violates the 14th Amendment, the clause for equal protection. And that's a sticky amendment that won't let you treat you, for example, differently from me because I happen to be older.
Even though the law does treat us different. But we won't get into that.
Well, we could get into all the complexity, and I'm sure you're going to raise the argument that there's a third party involved, which is that God opposes gay marriage. And right. I'll let some of your Republican friends argue that in a second. Let's listen to how a couple of folks on the left, Chris Matthews and Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi from San Francisco.
You're going first, so you get to play your sound clip.
Yeah, exactly.
That's totally fair.
They're first in the rundown. Yeah, that's it. They came first in the rundown. Yeah, that's why they're first. Yeah.
Today, the United States Supreme Court said it would take up the issue of same-sex marriage. This is an astounding moment in American history and in the March of Rights that began in Philadelphia in the last quarter of the 18th century and continues through this first quarter of the 21st. Is it constitutional for a state to deny people of the same sex the right to marry under the law? Well, let's consider the 14th Amendment. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protections of the laws. And here's Justice Kennedy, Anthony Kennedy, in his majority opinion in the Lawrence case of 2003, which declared anti-sodomy laws unconstitutional. Quote, does a statute making it a crime for two persons of the same sex to engage in certain intimate sexual conduct violate the due process clause? Yes.
Whatever the subject had to be, whether it was AIDS funding and the rest, it was always an issue of discrimination. Ending discrimination, because part of our fight on the HIV, AIDS funding and the rest was to end discrimination against people with HIV and AIDS. One of the first issues that I came here and fought for when I came over 25 years ago was the hate crimes legislation. Again, to make sure people knew that it was very wrong to harm people on the basis of race, religion, sexual orientation, and then the other part of it. Of course, it's a long fight for us. We had with the President Obama in office, we were able to repeal "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," but we have work to do there in terms of making sure families and the military get what they need. Hopefully, the DOMO will be struck down, but we will have work to do.
It's discrimination. It's a basic argument against discrimination. And that's what you guys on the right keep missing, that this is discriminatory. Why in the world would you even get in the way of this and continue this discrimination?
See, here's the thing. When you start saying discrimination, what DOMA did was it gave states the ability to make their own decision, which is... This
is you guys and your states' rights issue.
This is
You'd
not...
You still have slavery because of states' rights. That's one of the...
Wait a second. That's... Stop muddying the water and let me talk. This isn't a 14th Amendment thing. When you say equal protection under the law, there is specific things in there that it says you are afforded under the law as protection.
But I've been able to get married. You're able to get married repeatedly, and yet you're saying these gays can't get married? I mean, how is that right?
See, they can't. We have states where they can get married.
He's going to let that one go. Okay, so if they get married in Massachusetts, I brought this up earlier, when they get married in Massachusetts, and I have friends in Austin who got married in Massachusetts, the same-sex couple.
And see, that's a state's decision.
Well, but the marriage is not recognized in the state of Texas.
That's also a state's decision.
And in fact, one works for the state of Texas, which does not recognize same-sex benefits. When I was working in Miami at a medical school there, we had the big public county hospital.
Another old man story.
We...
30 years ago when I was working in the newsroom.
Any story I tell is an old man's story. We'll talk about that too. We're going to talk about retirement benefits and the age of retirement in Stockton, California coming up, which is younger than I am, but that's another issue. That'll be in the lightning round. When I was working at this hospital, a woman got injured on vacation in South Florida, brought into the trauma center, and her same-sex partner was not allowed to go in and visit with her, spend time with her, hold her hand while she was in intensive care and in the emergency room in this trauma center. And that's just wrong. Had she been legally married, which they considered themselves to be, she'd have been able to go in and spend that time. That became a national news story. It's wrong. It's discrimination.
No. See, when you start throwing around discrimination, you're painting the issue with some kind of thing that's supposed to like make me really feel bad about a state being able to enforce its own laws. Oh, look, I'm getting text messages.
I think there's a reason you live in Texas and not, say, Massachusetts or Northern California. It's starting to come out here.
What does that have to see? See, there you go.
Okay, do you need some other Republicans to come in and rescue you? Because we have another piece of sound we could play if you want.
No, I got this.
Okay,
go ahead. You keep interrupting me. The 10th Amendment guarantees states the ability to dictate their own laws. When you let the federal government come in and step into something as private as marriage, we already heard about anti-sodomy laws, okay? This is something that the federal government is trying to regulate. How much into their lives do you want to let them? The states should be able to decide what is marriage and what is not. This is not a thing against gays. If a state wants to legalize marriage between a dog and a person, that is their right. There is an episode of Family Guy where Peter
Griffin... Have you been to Massachusetts? Because I'm starting to sound... It's starting to sound familiar. I don't... Okay,
you know
ahead.
What?
Family Guy.
Okay, there is an episode of Family Guy where Peter Griffin marries a piece of pie. That is a state's decision to make.
For crying out loud.
If New York wants to legalize gay marriage, same-sex marriage, you know, whatever, they can. But here in Texas, we're not going to give you free Medicaid. We're not going to let you violate what we decide marriage is. If you want to get married somewhere and have it mean something, that's up to you and your individual state. The federal government, President Obama, should not be making this decision for the entire country.
Okay, but
because what's good for them is not good for Texas.
I'll just come back in half an hour when you're done. This is another one of those questions like Justice Sotomayor. Listen, you make a very valid argument.
I wasn't asking you a question.
You raise a very valid point about this is not an issue that the government needs to be mired in.
I sound so surprised.
Which is why the Supreme Court is intervening and why the case has gotten this far, because it is a federal issue, because Congress passed this ridiculous, scandalous, discriminatory Defense of Marriage Act in 1996, making it a national intrusion into bedrooms. And that's why it needs to be fixed. Now, your argument is to fix it at the state level. Great, but it's a national federal problem because of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which enshrined it state by state, coast to coast. And that's why it needs a federal fix. And that's why I'm glad it's finally at the Supreme Court and why they're finally taking steps to stop this ridiculous discrimination. Let's hear. There's a compelling argument we haven't touched on yet, which I think will be near and dear to many here.
I was waiting in the
West Texas community.
Drop this one on you.
Okay, go ahead. You can
marital status matters in more than 1,100 federal laws affecting estate taxes, Social Security survivor benefits, and health benefits for federal employees.
Can the federal government deny to those legally married couples benefits that would be available to heterosexual couples?
Although the Defense of Marriage Act remains the law of the land, the White House stopped defending it in court 2 years ago. Now it is defended by House Republicans. Meanwhile, from coast to coast, both supporters and opponents of gay marriage gathered to make their strongly held views known. Defenders of traditional marriage hold to the Bible's teaching despite an overwhelming drumbeat for homosexual marriage in the major media.
The Word of God is crystal clear, and it doesn't bother people to come against it in a very blatant way.
And supporters of traditional marriage hold vigils.
Lord, we pray for those judges to make their mind up, to make their decisions right, Lord.
If the court were to decide that to deny same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, then you've got Georgetown University, a Jesuit university, married student housing. It's Catholic university. So it says that it's only going to allow heterosexuals. It will get sued. This will become an assault. It will become an assault on religion. And the religions, which I think are sincere in their beliefs, are going to be under assault and under attack.
Marriage is between a man and a woman. It's a well-established fundamental pillar of society. And no group, be they gays, be they NAMLA, be they people who believe in bestiality, it doesn't matter what they are, they don't get to change the definition. So it's not something that's against gays. It's against anybody who wants to come along and change the fundamental definitions of pillars of society. It has significant ramifications.
Oh, they heard that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they heard that. Now you're
good,
curious what you missed.
Yeah.
Okay.
B-roll on the devil's advocate.
Ben Carson, Charles Krauthammer, Pulitzer Prize-winning syndicated columnist before that, talking about the
sanctity of marriage.
Well, this is why we need a uniform national policy and why it just needs to be standardized. And we need to, and this slippery slope argument is ridiculous. Nobody's going to marry a slice of pie except on the television show. It's a ridiculous argument.
You never know.
It's
okay, look,
a
dog almost won an election in California.
Well, but come on, that makes sense. That was the best candidate in California, for crying out loud.
Well, maybe it's the best candidate you have for marriage. I mean, but if that's the case, let's reevaluate your life. So the sanctity of marriage argument put forth by, the soundbite, Ben Carson's, I think you said?
Yeah, Ben Carson.
So this
chief
is,
of neurosurgery, Johns Hopkins.
This is important. If a godless state like New York wants to legalize homosexual marriage, that is their right. Where I grew up, in Gatesville, Texas, we learned that, like he said, marriage is a sanctity between a covenant between a man and a woman. Now, down here, we respect our upbringing. And, you know, like I said, if people want to go do whatever with a partner, a partner of a different race, the same sex, you know, that is their choice, but we'll hold them responsible for it when the time comes.
So what about within a complex state like Texas? Say we have certain rules for West Texas, but different rules for, say, Austin?
No, we don't have different rules. They just don't.
They just break them.
We'll get to Austin later.
Yeah, we'll have a little fun at their expense later. So you're going to stick around for that. That's kind of fun.
We will enjoy that.
Yeah,
or so, I will, Mr. Split Allegiance over here with his UT degree.
I think this is... you're going to get me in trouble with Josh Cook, the sports director again.
I'm telling you.
He's going to come storm trooping back in.
He is just down the hallway.
Flying the guns up again. I get in trouble every time I do that. Listen, it's a complicated issue. I think it's discriminatory. There's clear argument for supporting a standardized, nationalized policy. I love the complexity that Krauthammer brings up.
You don't want to support the standardized policy that we have.
Well, but Krauthammer brings up this compelling issue. You've got a Jesuit university. You've got Georgetown University in D.C. And this school has restrictions on housing. So married couples, men and women only, can live in certain housing under certain rules. That university, because it's a Christian university, a Catholic university, would have to restrict their housing, and it's going to create complexity in some areas like that, in the same way as, for example, the Affordable Care Act. Obamacare has created some issues clashing with the different faith-based groups, and this is a tough one for me. I'm trying to represent the side on the left, and yet religious freedom is explicitly protected in the First Amendment. I think the solution, though, has to be federal, so that you don't get all these complexities with certain institutions, certain organizations, certain states, so that you don't get somebody married in Massachusetts or California. They move back to a place like Texas or Alabama, and suddenly they're no longer married.
Well, obviously, they don't need to be married.
Well, okay, so there's your solution.
I'm telling you.
Like, now, they cannot visit their spouse in an emergency room. They cannot receive survivor's benefits from
Social Security.
Oh, I'm sure
they could in a place like Massachusetts.
Well, but the state of Texas, for example, for employees prohibits that. So it's banned by the state of Texas. Right now, it's legal for Texas to discriminate.
We're leading from the front, okay? We're the second largest state. We're the one in the front.
You're trailing from the back, leading from the front.
Please.
For kind of leading
we're
into the
only
middle
ones,
ages.
We're one of the only states sitting here going, no, guys, this is wrong. You cannot defy what we've been taught to believe are traditional family values for the past million years of marriage between a man and a woman.
Let me look at the wrist strap. What would Jesus do? And I'm just not sure he'd come down on your side on this issue.
I'm pretty sure he would.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come down.
Let me go get my Bible and we'll see how he feels.
We'll ask a higher authority, John Stewart, coming up in a couple of minutes. So come back and join us on The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah. simple life, it's so simple. When I jumped out on that road, I got no love, no love you'd call real. Ain't got nobody waiting at home. Running with the devil.
Everybody, welcome back to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT The Raider 88.1 here with Tony and Dr. K.
Christine Copeland producing. Hey, Christine, I was enjoying your guitar solo just now. That was fun. Thanks.
Yeah, she entertains us with her air guitaring skills.
Nice work.
I'm glad you appreciate it.
Yes, we got her to talk.
Love that.
So,
hey, your namesake was weighing in on this, on the court.
Oh, you mean Anthony Scalia?
No, that's Antonin Scalia,
oh,
the other one.
Antonin Scalia and Anthony Kennedy.
That's it, yeah.
Sorry,
that's
got
okay.
My names mixed up.
It happens a lot.
See, Antonin would be my name if I was from Soviet Russia.
And don't mess up Antonin Scalia's name if you know what's good for you. You know what I'm saying? So.
See, he gets all the really good impressions. I get the bad ones. So
what was that argument you were making earlier?
Right,
I think Anthony Kennedy was on
I was
side.
Telling you that the Defense of Marriage Act should be argued in the Supreme Court like it is because it is a federal thing that imposes
from on high,
yes.
Uniform dictates for
it
the whole country.
Breaches,
which of course
rights.
Is appropriate in this case because it's absurdly discriminatory. But go ahead, talk about your states.
No.
You just like to say that, don't you?
Yes, because you constantly chime in with discrimination. This is a legal issue. This is not an issue of, oh, we hate gays. This is, we are deciding how our laws are enforced.
You cannot spend your precious final moments with your dying loved one because you happen to be of a different gender and your marriage is not recognized in this state.
Tearing
fine,
up
it's
over
not
here.
Discrimination.
This
okay,
is
fine.
Not discrimination. This it is the same thing. Look, okay, if you have a roommate,
what
you
do you
know,
mean by that?
Like literally a roommate, like person, like a college dorm roommate. Okay, this is the same thing. They are not allowed to go in there, even though you may have lived with this person for four
it's
years.
Not someone you've bought a house with, invested a life with, made a commitment to. It's different.
I'm pretty sure that you sign a lease with a roommate.
Oh, for
you,
crying
you
out loud.
Are sharing a living space. Like this.
So marriage is strictly a contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I will say I married up. Yeah. Good. I got him to do it. Yeah.
Damn it.
No.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
Okay. I married my wife for money, but not only for money. So I understand, but I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure.
Wait, will this show be streaming? Uh-oh. Okay, sorry.
Well, so Nuri.
Hey, the phone's ringing. Hank, no, I'm kidding.
Okay. So, well, we'd hear the Imperial March, and then you know you're in trouble.
It's just my ringtone, folks. It's for everybody.
It's funny when it plays for her when he says something like
so
that.
So Anthony
here.
Kennedy's interesting because
right.
He kind of goes
back to this.
Both ways on a lot of these cases.
See, that's funny because so the
he's called the swing vote for a reason.
Justice Kennedy's argument was falling right along with mine. We should be arguing the Defense of Marriage Act in the Supreme Court. Shut up. shut up, not because it's discrimination, but because this is how we choose to enforce our laws across the United States. Now, I want to put emphasis on United States, as decreed by the 10th Amendment to the Constitution.
Done.
Thank you. So what Justice Kennedy is saying is what I was saying earlier. We should base this on a state-by-state basis. Obamacare tried to encroach.
Impose?
That's what it is. Encroach on states' rights by forcing us to expand Medicaid, by forcing us
because
to do these things.
States like Texas, which led the country with 26% uninsured, wouldn't
Texas
take actions to resolve its own problem.
Texas also leads the United States in industry and profitability in business.
So why don't they help their poor and provide health care? That's why we needed a federal policy,
hello,
a standard
job
blanket
creators,
policy.
If you take away from our industry, you know what? This is an argument for another show. I'm pretty sure we've been here before. But the point is that the federal government in the past 4 or 5 years has gotten into the really terrible habit of forcing states to do what they want just because some hoopty in New York thinks that it's best for us.
Hoopty.
Like I had to come up with a word that I could say on the air.
Part of our permanent lexicon now on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I approve. So, I guess here's the distinction I make, right? It's hard to go over 55 miles an hour anywhere in the state of Massachusetts. You can go 80 in Texas on I-20, I-10 west of San Antonio. There is no posted speed limit, just best prudent speed in Montana. Okay, fine. If you're alone on a country road and you're taking chances with only your own existence, I get a little flexibility. But something that's a fundamental right, like survival benefits of Social Security or a pension, access to a dying loved one,
is a fundamental benefit.
The right to make decisions on the deathbed of a loved one.
They have a family for a
reason. Those are fundamental. Yes, and your family, because you've married that person, even if they happen to be the same gender. These are fundamental family rights that need to be universalized across the country, because the states, as Texas has proven with health care and other issues, is just not up to the task. Some of the states just are not up to the task.
I am pretty sure that my traditional family values do not include gay marriage.
Okay, well, you go marry a dog in Massachusetts and you see how Texas treats you.
Because I deserve it.
Okay, as long as we're onto a humorous path. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think, like you mentioned earlier, our higher power has an opinion on this.
The voice of God.
You're going to get calls now on Twitter, just so you know. But okay.
Okay. Hold on. Here it comes. So Christine, would you mind?
Christine did have an insightful thought on this.
Yeah, I'm on now.
Okay.
Good girl. So
share your thought earlier, which we thought was very insightful.
Okay, so when we were listening to the Republican package earlier, and
the right one, thank you.
Sure.
She knows
whatever.
The one where they were with all knowledge imparting what God, with all certainty, would think.
Well, anyways, it's only because it's what's in His Word, Kelly. As a good Catholic, I'm pretty sure you would know that.
Christine, save me.
Anyways, like when they said in the package, like, God doesn't like gays or whatever, basically. My only thought on the subject...
What does that Baptist church say about God hating people?
I don't know. All I have to say on the subject is, like, the Bible also says stuff like, don't force your beliefs on other people and things like that.
Exactly.
This isn't a belief. This is a legal
issue. Love your neighbor. Okay, well, all right. We're just talking about right from wrong. And yes, it is a legal issue, and it's time we standardized across the nation some sensible policies like this.
What else do you want to standardize?
What else did Jed Smock tell you last week? I think you spent too much time talking to him when he was here.
I'm pretty sure I was just listening to what's right, okay? So...
Nice.
What else do you want to national? Do you want to nationalize the economy next? Do you want? Oh, what's this distribution of wealth? That's what I'm hearing.
Well,
over here.
Okay, so let's trust Rhode Island for the national defense. Are you saying we shouldn't nationalize anything? What I'm saying is there's a middle ground, and if we want to let speed limits be autonomous, fine. But certain things are too important, and people move. People go to different parts of the country. Their marriages should be able to move with them. It's just too important.
Well, if they decide to move, that's their own choice. They should know the laws of the state they're moving
to. So we want all gays to have to live in California and Massachusetts, and in fact, not even in California is it legal for the moment, but yeah, in Massachusetts.
Do you want to nationalize gambling laws next? I mean, you go to a place like Nevada, you can gamble. You step across the border in California, you can't gamble.
Well, right now, money flees Texas to go to Louisiana, so why not? But at least that's an oblique issue. It's not a central core issue of values and family and economics like marriage is.
I'm pretty sure gambling is a family thing. Like, that is a traditional family value. You don't gamble.
I think I don't. I need to be rescued by one other voice of reason.
Yeah, you're going to need all the help you can get.
Which is clearly John Stewart.
Well, we're going to get to our top story tonight. The austerity measures from the sequester are beginning to take their toll on the needy in this country. Gun control and immigration reform appear to be losing momentum. Walking Dead is off the air now until October. And there was a fourth thing that I keep forgetting. It was,
North Korea is once again ratcheting up tensions with the United States.
Yeah, that was it, what the hell, North Korea? When did all this start? What's Kim Jong-il's boy Jong-un up to?
Hey, that's what you call a tease.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that one. That one's actually hysterical, but we're going to revisit
that one. What was that other one we were talking about just 5 seconds ago? I can't really remember it.
Big issue. There was something about
something
healthcare.
Something going on in the Supreme Court.
And then, yeah, was that it? Yeah, I think it was on the gay marriage one.
Okay, let's try again.
Oh, that was gay marriage? Uh-oh,
was
I gave it?
It
the wrong name.
Oh, look what you
hey,
did.
Hey, let's gamble and play the other one, and let's see if that one works. Otherwise, if it doesn't, we'll take a break. But let's gamble and roll the dice. Fingers crossed.
Here we go.
Well, we're going to get to our top story tonight. The austerity measures from the sequester are beginning to take their toll.
No,
on the
look what you did.
Did I import the same one twice? Okay, we'll take a look and see. Let's take a break. And we'll come back in a minute and maybe do a lightning round, maybe hear from John Stewart.
There was a fourth. There was some.
Okay, yeah, let's play a little music.
There was a fourth.
There was. We'll definitely play that for you in a second. It's funny. It's worth
it. We will
for.
Get to it. You'll hear the rest of it. It's
we'll
hilarious.
Come back on Devil's Advocate shortly on 88.1 The Raider.
Thank you.
back.
Good God, Anthony, your head is spinning. We listened to that song for too long. That's the theme from The Exorcist, and we listened to that way too long.
Just kidding. You probably thought the show was over. Surprise, we're still here.
You also thought maybe Walking Dead was starting to come into the show, and it will be back. So
in October. I know. So they were talking about it this morning on Good Morning Texas Tech. I don't watch the show because it's way too gross. No, I don't. It's way too gross for me.
So, yeah, I'm with you. Here's my funny story about Walking Dead. Maybe I should save this for the end of the show. I'll save this for the end of the show after we hear another reference.
You get a funny story from Dr. K at the end of the show.
Sorry.
Probably his first ever.
So not worth staying around for.
So, have we...
It has to do with Texas Tech.
Have we fixed the problem? Okay. Dr. K messed up our entire show before we even started.
My bad. My fingers are crossed. I'm blaming Jason Kilhofer, who produces for us sometimes, who's not here. So
I know.
It's his fault.
Where is our man?
Doesn't matter. It's his fault. And Christine stepped up and fixed it. So I think we're good.
So, I mean, we're lucky we have good people to rely on.
Fingers crossed.
Because this guy...
Okay. If this doesn't work, I'll play it on my computer.
Down at the United States Supreme Court, where America's top nine justices spent two full days enjoying gay oral. Arguments.
Okay. Oh, was that it?
I'm guessing that did not make it. That was it.
I'm feeling a little awkward, especially knowing who is on the Supreme Court.
You want me to argue which case? I don't know.
I am.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Especially after our both ways joke, am I right?
Exactly. So. Yeah, I don't know. Sam Alito, Antonin Scalia. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's about 90. I'm not sure this is at all comfortable.
How is he still upright? Like,
John Stewart. Yeah, exactly. Love that. What do you mean by... Okay, never mind.
Well, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
See, that's the joke.
Yeah, got to have some fun. John Stewart, thank you for bringing this to perspective.
Okay, so we got what, like 15, 10 minutes
12
left?
Minutes left,
okay,
yeah.
12 minutes left. That's just enough time for me to crush you in the lightning round.
Okay.
But...
should we take another little break and then come back for a lightning round? Or should we just do a lightning round?
I'm pretty sure we should just go on because we hung that last one.
Yeah, that was a pretty long break, so we'll have some fun.
So don't worry, guys. We're going to keep you company for another 5-6 minutes. So.
So is it lightning round?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, there it is.
Okay.
So the lightning round for today
that never gets old.
We have a special lightning round topic at the end.
Yeah, yeah. We'll save that one for the end because it's too good.
We already teased it to you.
Are you feeling broke? Did you have anything you didn't have enough money for this week?
Everything.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
I'm shelling out way too much. I'm shelling out my rent for my senior ring.
Okay.
If that tells you anything.
Okay, yeah. So got it. Yeah, there's a Hobson's choice you don't want to have to make. That fits beautifully with our first topic in the lightning round.
Okay, so the first topic is Stockton, California. The city has gone bankrupt. Yeah. It's a city about the same size as Lubbock with a population of 300,000.
Unbelievable.
The city government has gone bankrupt.
Should we flip a coin on this one?
Yes, we have to flip it every time.
Flip a coin. We'll watch a clock. Are you ready?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to call this one heads.
Oh, wait.
Heads.
Do you have the clock or do I have the clock?
Heads, I'm conservative. I'll watch a clock.
Okay.
You start a clock. Okay.
Hold on a second.
All right. You start a clock. I'll flip a coin. We're going to talk about Stockton, California.
Here's
the flip. I say heads, I'm conservative. Heads, I'm conservative.
All right. 2 minutes.
Stockton, California. You know why they're broke? Do you want to know why they're broke?
Why are they broke?
Because you can retire from Stockton at age 50 and get your pension, all right, after just 5 years of service. And what they've done is they've declared bankruptcy. They have... almost $800 million in bond debt. They're going to hammer those bond holders, people who've invested in Stockton, California, take their money to protect union labor and make sure that these pensions that were ridiculous, retiring at 50, 52, getting 6 months' pay for unused sick vacation days. I've never had benefits like that in any private sector job I've ever worked in. It's ridiculous.
Well, you've also never worked for a union. The unions are the backbone of our modern labor system. They were established 50, 60, 100 years ago to protect the workers. Now, if these people lose their pensions, what's going to happen is the entire working class there will just collapse.
Oh, for God's sake.
So you have to maintain your base.
The unions are the reason Stockton's in bankruptcy. It was a ridiculous overreach for the pension plan. Oh, just paying people to not work, giving them, if you retire at 50 and live till 90, 40 years of retirement, why don't you work for a living till you're 70 like I'm going to have to do?
It's not our fault you went into two terrible places, like journalism and wait a second.
Listen, I made a living and set some money aside. I've actually done that. And here I am older than 50. I'm 53 and I'm still working.
I'm going to remember that.
So, okay, I'm just saying. But so ridiculous that these people retiring fat pensions, and who has to pay for it? The people who are still working. And for Stockton to haircut the bondholders, to take money from the bondholders, but not make the pensioners, not make the unions sacrifice anything is scandalous. Everybody needs to share in something as big as an enormous city in California going bankrupt.
Oh, an enormous city, please. I mean, this place, it's only about the size of Lubbock. It's, I mean, imagine if something happened to Lubbock and Okay, we're out of time.
Okay. Here, we'll move it off the paper.
Yeah, that sounds
good. A little better. Okay, sorry.
Okay, reset.
Yeah, ridiculous.
What is next?
By the way, I should have mentioned this. Lubbock, not even close to bankruptcy. And so it's ridiculous that you guys, you know, you feel that way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Without the coin flipping.
Management.
Seriously?
Hey, like, what's going on in Gatesville?
How do you
something happen in Gatesville?
My hometown of Gatesville. So,
you must be proud.
Should
we call it, then explain it?
No, I'm going to explain it first. So
okay.
25 years ago, a man named Ed Graff was arrested for arson for burning his... allegedly burning his stepsons
but
in the backyard.
Convicted of arson, actually.
So I guess not alleged anymore. See, that's my news writing catching up with me.
No, that's good. You're properly trained. I like that.
Yeah, so the guy was serving time, 25 years in jail for this crime. And now, just recently, he has been awarded a second trial, an appeal, retrying the facts of his case because apparently some fire scientist, like that's a real thing. Why didn't I go into fire science? You know, they're saying that there was some false science used in his conviction, so now he's going to get an appeal. So, how are we going to split this one? Are we going to go appeal, not appeal? Like,
well, let's flip a coin and we'll talk. I think it's going to be, you know, justice versus criminal sort
right.
of thing. So
okay.
We'll see. But yeah.
Okay, so you call the last one. I'm going to call this one. So I'm going to go heads for justice.
Okay, heads for justice. What does justice mean? Okay, it's tails.
Okay, so.
So you're unjust.
Yeah, well...
I say, look, I feel terrible for this guy. It's an awful tragedy that he spent a quarter of a century locked up for a crime he may not have committed. By the way, one of the prosecutors still stands by the original evidence, as does one of the original fire investigators. So they stand by it. What they're saying is fire science has evolved. And there was another case like this, a high-profile one, where a guy was actually executed based on fire science. They say now, since that case has evolved too, and that he would not be convicted today. And again, it's awful. I'm glad he's getting another look. I hope he's innocent because he's being let out. But by the same token, I hate to say it, science evolves as you learn things, as you incorporate DNA evidence. You have to reassess these cases. And thank God it doesn't happen often. It's a tragedy every single time it happens. But it's going to happen occasionally and can't be helped. So...
So, okay, look, sorry, I got distracted waving at a pretty girl. So,
wow, okay.
Shut up. So the thing is that this guy was tried and convicted in a court of law. Okay, the facts then.
Jury of his peers.
Yeah, exactly. So, wait.
Evidence presented. Okay.
Yeah, okay, stop. You're throwing me off. So.
That's my job.
The thing, shut up. So the thing is that the facts of the case do not change. The way that you look at them, that's subjective. Okay, at the time when this happened, and if there are prosecutors and investigators standing by it now, that means it's still legitimate. If you're just muddying the water just to put more strain on our justice system to clog up the works, all you're going to get is another bad trial, another ambulance chasing level trial that will put, you know, our justice system like in chaos, basically.
I hardly say 25 years of a man's life is a frivolous court case.
He murdered two people. He was convicted of murdering two underage people, his stepsons, his relatives.
Convicted on sketchy and now outdated science. Not only should he be freed, but should be compensated.
Okay.
Saved by the bell on that one.
Yeah.
All right, some fun that we saved for the end. We hinted at it earlier. Should we just play the sound again?
Yeah,
since
go
people
for
have
it.
Been waiting. Let's go ahead and listen to John Stewart again.
I know they're sitting at the edge of their seats for our last soundbite.
Well, we're going to get to our top story tonight. The austerity measures from the sequester are beginning to take their toll on the needy in this country. Gun control and immigration reform appear to be losing momentum. Walking Dead is off the air now until October.
And there was a fourth. There was something else. There was a fourth thing that I keep forgetting. It was
North Korea is once again ratcheting up tensions with the United States.
Yeah. That was it. What the hell, North Korea? When did all this start? What's Kim Jong-il's boy Jong-un up to here?
North Korea's new 30-year-old leader, Kim Jong-un, warned his forces are ready to, as he put it, settle accounts with the United States.
Look past the picture of Kim Jong-un putting North Korean rockets on standby inside his military command. There's a chart marked U.S. mainland strike plan with missile trails aiming at Hawaii, California, D.C., and for some reason, Austin, Texas.
You're gonna blow up Austin, Texas? What are you just trying to get the rest of Texas on your side? Or did South by Southwest reject your indie film, Little Miss Unshine?
Okay, so obviously our next topic is
the
attacks from North Korea.
Okay.
They stopped people working in South Korea, but we bring it back home. North Korea has threatened to destroy Austin, just wipe it off the map.
Of all places.
Thank God.
Yeah, shame on you.
I'm sorry,
that's mean. So I think our two sides maybe take this seriously, not take it seriously?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, heads, I take it seriously. Heads it is. This guy's a loose cannon. He has nuclear weapons. He tested another nuclear weapon just recently. He has delivery vehicles, missiles. He's constantly agitating. This time, he's a little scary. Usually, it's just for money, but this time, I'm a little nervous, and that's not just because Austin is on the map.
It's because Dr. K has family in Austin.
Yeah.
Now, look. Okay, seriously. Kim Jong-un lives like a bazillion miles away. Okay. How is he going to know? Like, I'm pretty sure he just flipped through his big atlas and said, hey, there's a big state called Texas. What's its capital? Okay, we're going to nuke it.
Listen, you do not declare war on the state of Texas. Everybody should know that. Come on, that's crazy.
Well, that's anyway, what I'm saying. Like, okay. This guy does not know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think he's a
loose
cannon.
First of all, the Texas National Guard is probably bigger than North Korean Army. Just saying.
Actually, it's a million-man standing army and 50,000 U.S. troops permanently stationed just south of the demilitarized zone in South Korea. And so it does affect the U.S., so, even if it's just South Korea. Big, big U.S. military presence there.
Right.
U.S. now has ships there. Kim Jong-un has some ships apparently that were photoshopped in, but has some ships in the neighborhood.
I heard.
He had a ship, I think, and it turned into six.
Yeah. Oh, the magic of modern technology. So what is it, like ship cloning or something? Like the South Korean demilitarized zone border, that's something to worry about because, you know, like you said, a million men is rolling down over the border. That's something to worry about.
Through the Austin, most mined piece of real estate on earth.
Austin, Texas. Okay, what is threatening about Austin? First of all, there's Congress Avenue. Wow. Sixth Street.
You
wow.
know, there's talk that three possible reasons. You mentioned one earlier. Fort Hood is nearby. Second, there's a large Samsung manufacturing plant. That's a South Korean company.
Yeah, we're really going to stick it to them, aren't we?
Third, there's some big blog that apparently targets Kim Jong-un regularly, and that's based in Austin, too, which I think is interesting. I think it was just an accident, but I just think this guy's a loose cannon.
Okay, we're out of time for that bit of lightning round.
Thank God, and 45 seconds of programming left, which is good, because we have things to do. Sorry.
Yes, I actually have okay.
You have class.
I
have no class. You have some.
So I have all the class.
You've retained some, exactly.
So, here's... What the heck? Oh. Hey, my timer's going off.
30 seconds.
So, okay, as I was saying, thank you for tuning in to the Raider 88.1 of the Devil's Advocate. Remember to keep streaming. Stay on the website. Stay on the radio because we have some great music going on.
Facebook.com, the Raider 88.1.
Absolutely. And Twitter at the Raider 88.1. You can catch us here same bat time, same bat channel next week, Wednesday at 5 here on the Raider 88.1.
See ya.